The Home Show with Sinead Ryan on News Talk.
Now, as part of News Talk Goes Green with SSE Air Tristy, we thought we would take a look today at retrofitting your home and maybe busting some myths around the process. We get lots of questions in about what can I do and how do I do it. And I think it's one of those things where people maybe don't even know the right questions to ask. So we've invited in Brian McIntyre. He's Program Manager at the SEAI, the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland, who is the authority on all things to do with retrofitting. You're very welcome.
Thanks
very along,
much,
Brian. And listen, I suppose this is one of those topics that everybody would like to do it in principle, okay, because who's against having a warmer, kind of cozier home? But there are a lot of things maybe that people don't understand or know about it. So let's start with kind of getting rid of some of the confusion. What is retrofitting? I mean, at its most basic level, what does it involve and how far can that stretch?
So basically, it's people talk energy efficiency. So the first side of it is you're insulating your house. So you're trying to keep the heat in for longer. So you're retaining that heat, and that means you use your heating system less. So you're keeping your house warmer for longer. Mm. The other side of it then for retrofitting is using a more efficient heating system. So again, you have a certain heating demand to keep your home comfortable, and you're using less energy from your heating system to make your house comfortable. And then you have things like the renewable side of things, so solar panels as well that can feed into it. But retrofitting is just making your house warmer and more comfortable.
Okay, and listen, that's a very simple sounding thing. And who doesn't want that, as I said? But there are lots and lots of different ways you can do it. Some of them are quite expensive. Some of them are cheap as chips. And we're all on for kind of taking in less in terms of fossil fuel energy and utilising better maybe what we have in place. One of the barriers involves finance, obviously, because it's not always cheap to do this. But are there others? Do you find maybe people put off by the complexity or they don't know where to start? They're a little bit lost.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Like, it's really difficult. Like, it just can become overwhelming if you've got, say, an older house and it's cold, but you don't really know where to start. Mm. I mean, there's lots of stuff out there. For me, I can find some of it a bit confusing. I went to buy paint at the weekend and finally decided on a colour for the wall, and then they start asking me all these other questions about finishes, and that was a basic thing. So I can completely see why someone would become overwhelmed by that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's even just starting, knowing where to start. There's lots of Chinese whispers happens as well around this space, like you see on Facebook and Twitter and all these comments, and it kind of grows legs about misconceptions of what it's going to be. So,
The conspiracy theorists reach into the world of retrofitting even, do they?
not even to that extent, but it's just sometimes someone's misunderstanding, they've picked up a comment wrong, and that kind of grows legs and it sort of evolves into its own life. So I think that just makes things a little bit harder, and then just people not really knowing where to start. And that's fair enough. I mean, that's not where they work or it's in their space. So.
Yeah, and I suppose maybe there might be people kind of sensing, I'd love to get the windows changed because that's the bit I can see, and that's the bit, more importantly, maybe the neighbours can see, and I can feel great about putting solar panels on the roof. But actually, when it comes to the stuff that's invisible under the roof, wrapping the walls, you know, maybe people don't get so excited about that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's one of the things that's not really that tangible, and we're trying to sell comfort. I mean, that's essentially what it's about, it's about comfort, and it's just hard for people to kind of to think about that when they're thinking about, well, I'm not going to see it. On the outside of the house, fair enough, it could actually make the house look a bit newer, but it's really hard to kind of wrap your head around something that's not as tangible as, like, even things like a new kitchen. Someone will spend quite a chunk of money on a new kitchen, they don't think about payback as such, it is a new kitchen, it looks lovely, and you do get that benefit from it. So it's just sort of about trying to tell people it's comfort, really.
It's not all the stuff you can see, it's the stuff you can feel, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Now, solar panels have definitely taken off. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. And I'm sure the grants, which we'll come to, have had something to do with that. But I think there's also a sense that when you're walking around your neighbourhood or your town, you're seeing more solar panels.
Yeah.
And maybe that might be sparking a phone call or a chat with the neighbour, how are you getting on with it and what did it cost and what's the payback?
Yeah.
Is there a thing about the panels, though, that, like, you do have to wait kind of a long time to get your money back? Or is that a myth?
The payback on them is quite short now because, first of all, the electricity prices have gone so high. So every unit of electricity that you use from your solar panels is saving about 36, 37 cents a go. Now, if for what you don't use, you can sell that back to the grid. So you're getting somewhere between 18 and 24 cents for every unit that you sell back to the grid as well. So you're actually winning on both sides. So the financial argument is much more relevant to solar panels than it would be, say, for insulation, for example, because you're basically reducing your costs of, of taking electricity from the grid. So the payback is immediate in that sense. Like the payback time has come down from what would have been 10 or 11 years. I've known like 5, 6, 7 years now.
Okay.
So that's that side of things where people are concerned before looking at batteries might have been more expensive and that you're not using it all, so you're wasting some of it. But now with the fact that you can sell it back to the grid.
And do many people do that, Brian? I mean, is it an actual real option for people to be so completely self-sufficient that you've excess energy?
Yeah, it depends on the time of day. Like if you're during the day, you mightn't be using that much electricity in the house, even if you're working from home. But on a sunny day, you're getting a lot of electricity. And what it actually does, if you have, you usually get an app with your solar panels, so you can see when you're generating, and it actually changes people's behaviour. Say, we're not going to put on that wash now. So you can maximise how much of that energy you're using. And just even just behavioural changes, because if you don't, what often happens is sometimes people just come home in the evening and do what they do. But if it helps you, if there are some things you put on a wash or a tumble dryer or whatever, you won't use a tumble dryer on a sunny day, but put on the washing machine or maybe cook a dinner earlier in the day, that kind of thing.
I mean, do you need an app to kind of look out at the window and see if it's sunny? Or is that one of the myths, actually, that whole thing, it has to be sun shiny and hot?
Yeah. No, it is. It's there's two types of, so it's daylight really. So this direct sunlight does have an impact on it, but daylight that's coming through the clouds, so like diffuse light, they call that. So it's just daylight really.
Okay, all right. Now, we have talked before and there has been some chat about the suitability of some homes, because I know people who write into me in the Indo go for the questions, go for the grant, log on to the SEAI or wherever, and then find out actually my home isn't suitable. And that's a great shame, because they may have a very low BER, you know, E or F, which is very cold and old.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why is it that some houses aren't suitable, and is there anything that they can do?
So you're typically talking about pre-1940s houses there, which we'd call traditional buildings. And the big problem is that for some of the insulations, like for wall insulation, for example, they have to, in order to meet building regulations requirements, they need NSAI certification for the insulation materials. Now, the materials that do have certification aren't suitable for those walls because they're different. They need to breathe, for example, they're called breathability. So the materials that are certified aren't suitable for them because you could create problems within the wall, but the materials that are suitable aren't certified.
So catch 22.
Yeah. So we had guidance published by the Department of Housing just before Christmas, and we're working with them and the NSAI and all the other stakeholders to see how we can actually support those houses in getting upgrades in the absence of NSAI certification. So it's something we're working on at the minute because there's about 250,000 homes in the country that would qualify as traditional buildings that can't avail of, say, wall insulation grants at the minute. So that's something we are working on addressing.
Now, in terms of the grants, people, you know, they're delighted to get some of the costs picked up and some of the stuff paid for, but there can be confusion because there's lots and lots, it seems to me, of little grants for different things.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, how do people get through that mire? Are they, like, they might be afraid of missing out on one, you know, getting work done, then realise, crikey, I could have got money back for that.
I think, well, lots of the, I think what can be confusing as well is that they're split into different house types as well. So you have different, there's a sort of a proxy for the size of the house, so that a detached house will get you the biggest grant because you've got your biggest wall area, for example, and a apartment would be the smallest. So it's trying to be fair and give that you're not, that you're giving it proportionate to the size of the house.
But also there's like the roof, and then there's a different one for the walls and a different one for the panels and a different one for the heat pumps.
Yeah.
And so is it worth going, like, can you do it on a piecemeal basis like that?
That's the thing. Like the one-stop shop grant was brought in last year to do a big piece of work. So your house is an E or an F or G even, and you can bring it up to a B2 or even up to an A rating. And that's one big piece of work. But to allow people to actually do it as finances allow, that we can say, right, well, this year I'm going to do the roof insulation. Next year it might be the wall insulation. The year after it might be the heating system. The year after that it might be the solar PV. So you might get to the end point. It just might take you longer. So it's to allow, you can apply for the grant this year and then go back next year and do something else. And then you get to the same end point, but it just, you have to.
And you're not going to miss out just because you didn't do it all in one go.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Brian, that certainly makes it a little more accessible for a lot of people. What would you recommend to a listener now who has an idea, I'd love to get that done, I do not know where to start?
the first thing we'd always say is to get a BR assessment. It's kind of to understand what your starting point is. Chat to a BR assessor when they're out of the house and they're doing the actual survey. They can advise you and say, look, well, your roof insulation is only... People think they have insulation in the roof, but they might look in and see something there, but it might be...
Nowhere near enough.
So they say, look, the attic is always a really good one to start at because it's just it's just rolled out the wall out across the attic, and the grant for that is quite good. I did it last year, it's about 70% of the cost of it.
Okay, so getting a BER assessor in kind of gives you that roadmap of this is what's wrong and this is what would put it right. And the cost of that is what, a couple of hundred quid, is it?
Yeah, it depends on the size of the house, because if it's a bigger house, it'd take longer, but somewhere between 250-300.
And actually, for anybody who's ever bought or sold a house, you have to get that done now. Yeah. So there are BER assessors out there, and there's also a grant for that, isn't there?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, Brian, thanks a million for talking to us all about that. And for anybody else who needs more information on heat pumps, solar panels, or indeed retrofitting generally, the SEAI has a podcast called 180 Degrees, and it has buckets of information over 12 episodes. And if you search for it wherever you get your podcasts or on the seai.ie website, you might even hear a familiar voice, as I was honoured to be host of the current series. And Brian and I have chatted at great length on all sorts of things to do with retrofitting. So it's very interesting. Brian McIntyre of the SEAI, thanks a million
for
joining us. And that is with thanks to SSE Airtricity. And to find out more about Generation Green Home Upgrade, see sseairtricity.com.
The Home Show with Sinead Ryan. Saturday morning at 8 on News Talk.